If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with us to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's start reading at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 12. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Here's the statement. Paul makes a positive statement. But now is Christ risen from the dead. He's playing with suppositions before this, but now he's making a positive statement. Christ is risen from the dead. Now he knew that because he'd seen him. He met him on the Damascus Road. And become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Father, we are glad this morning that we can assemble together in the name of Jesus and celebrate your resurrection. We are thankful, Father, for the many times that we've gathered right here in this assembly and felt the divine presence of the resurrected Lord. And we are praying this morning that you'd make your presence known in the house of God again. Lord, you'd speak to hearts that have assembled here in this service. And I pray that we would be awed by the greatness of the resurrected Lord. May we see your glory this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd help me to be anointed by the Holy Ghost to speak for the Lord to this congregation. I pray that you'd help me to say what you'd have me to say. Pray that somebody would receive the gospel message, their lives would be changed, and great good would come out of this service, and we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. We're talking this morning about the most important event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's important because of, first of all, what it reveals about Jesus. Secondly, it's important because of what it reveals about the constitution of man. And thirdly, it's important because of what it reveals about our future. And that's what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes. Is the importance, the meaning of the resurrection. It reveals something about Jesus to us. You see that the resurrection was heaven's declaration of the innocence and the truthfulness of Jesus Christ. The resurrection said something about Jesus. When the early disciples went out preaching about Christ, they declared to the Jews, you crucified him, you put him on a cross, and then they'd always say, but God raised him from the dead. So that you have there contrast between what man did to him and what God did to him. Man said, he's guilty, he's worthy to die, and they crucified him. But God said, it's not like man said, and so God raised him from the dead. And what the resurrection did was it overturned the verdict of the court. And God declared by the resurrection the innocence of Christ and his approval upon Christ. And so the resurrection was heaven's declaration of the innocence and the truthfulness of Jesus Christ. You see, they crucified him because he said he was the Son of God. They were looking for witnesses against Jesus. They sought false witnesses against Jesus. And so they finally had two that agreed that he said he would tear down the temple and build it back in 3 days. And we know Jesus didn't say that. That's not what Jesus said. They twisted the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "You tear down this temple," talking about his body, "and I'll build it back in 3 days." So they twisted the words of Jesus. Finally, the high priest said to Jesus, he cut right to the quick. He said, "Tell us, are you the Christ, the Son of the Highest, or the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "I am." He said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? This man is blasphemed. He's worthy of death." Now, when they took him to Pilate, they said, they didn't accuse him of that. They said, "This man said he's a king, so he is in competition with Caesar." And so they accused him of being in competition with Caesar. They said he said he was a king. But after a while, they went on to tell Pilate. They said, "This man, according to our law, is worthy to die because he's made himself the Son of God." And so when they told Pilate that, Pilate went back in to Jesus. The Bible says he was afraid. He thought there might be something more to this man than he knew. And so he said, "From whence are you? Where did you come from?" I'm telling you, brother, he realized for just a little bit there was something unusual about this man. They said he made himself the Son of God. But when they crucified Jesus, they denied what Jesus had said about himself. And they said he's worthy to die. But when God raised Jesus from the dead, guess what? God was saying what Jesus said about himself was true. And the verdict of the court was overturned when God raised Jesus from the dead. So the resurrection of Christ spoke volumes about Jesus himself. The Bible says that God declared him to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness. I'm telling you, you cannot ignore the resurrection. This is one thing everybody's got to deal with. All the other religions of the world have somebody that they follow their teachings. But I'm telling you, brother, this salvation that we have trusted in is not just a salvation in which there's some wonderful teachings behind it. There's a wonderful person behind it. And Jesus rose from the dead and certified that indeed he was the Son of God. Hallelujah. So heaven exonerated the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection also was heaven's testimony of the essential constitution of man. You see, the Bible says this awesome thing about Jesus. It says, "The Word was made flesh." You know, it starts out in John chapter 1 saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then it says, "The Word was made flesh." St. Augustine, that great theologian of the 5th century, said, in all of the heathen philosophy he had studied, he could find parallels to everything in Christianity, except this one statement: "The Word was made flesh." And he said, "I couldn't find anything anywhere that was equivalent to this statement, that the Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among men." Hallelujah. And so what happened was, the Bible says that God prepared Jesus a body, that this body that he came to was prepared for him by God. And so Jesus lived in this body. God dwelt in human flesh in the likeness of sinful men. Now, he was not a sinner. He never did any sin, but he dwelt in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus dwelt among us in a body. And when Jesus was crucified and they laid that body in the tomb, and, you know, Jesus was still alive. I mean, somewhere Jesus was still living. He went to the heart of the earth. And the Bible tells us that on resurrection morning, He came back and took up that same body that they laid in that tomb. Jesus took that body up and He was resurrected and come out of that tomb with that same body. Now, you see, that body, when Jesus revealed Himself to His disciples, it had the nails in the hand, nail prints in the hands. It had the spear wound in the side. It had the nail prints in the feet, so that it still bore the marks of His sufferings. Now, He's not suffering in that body, but it still bore the marks of His sufferings. Some people say that the resurrection of Jesus is only a spiritual thing. But I'm telling you that the resurrection of Jesus was a physical resurrection. He came to a physical body. He brought a physical body out of that grave. It was not just a spirit. You understand, Jesus, when He appeared to His disciples, said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see Me have. And to prove that He was not just a spirit, He ate with them at that meal. And so Jesus demonstrated that His resurrection was not just a spiritual thing. And He came out of that grave with the physical body that went in that grave. Hallelujah. But it was a glorified body. It had been changed. Hallelujah. So that it would never see corruption ever again. Praise God. Well, there's something about this resurrection of the physical body that's important. Because God made man with a body. We have a spirit. We have a body. Now, I know that there's a triune part of man. There's a soul, spirit, and body. But essentially, man is spirit and body. And this body is the house of the spirit. And so it is the expression, this body is the expression of the inner man. I always wonder, why is the resurrection so important? If when we die, we go to be with Jesus, why is the resurrection so important? We're already with Christ. We're already in heaven. We're already at peace. Why is the resurrection important? And it took me a long time to realize the importance of the body. Now, your body is important. God made a human being, a man, to be soul and body, not just soul by itself. And so a person without a body is incomplete. That's the reason the resurrection is important, because man is constituted of both body and soul. The Bible says that God made Adam a body, breathed into him his nostrils a breath of life, and he became a living soul. And so man was constituted soul and body. In the heathen religions, many of them considered the body to be evil. And they considered the soul and the body to be at odds with one another. And so many of the heathens would burn the bodies, cremate them after death. And they considered the soul to be good. They considered the body to be bad. And so they cremated the bodies. We're getting back to those days of cremation. I might as well just hit on that a little bit while I'm at it. That's a heathen custom. I'm telling you that cremation does not belong to the Christian faith. The Christian faith honors the body because God gave us a body. That's why we have Christian funerals. That's why we have the bodies at Christian funerals. Because God gave us that body. God gave Jesus a body. The Bible says, Jesus said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And so God gave to the Son of God a body. He gave to each one of us a body, so that this soul inhabits a body. All of the saints of God that have gone on to glory now then are waiting for the resurrection day, because they are not complete. The soul was not made to be independent. It was made to inhabit a body. And all of the saints of God that have gone on are in heaven with Christ, but yet incomplete. And they're waiting resurrection day, when they will be reunited with their bodies And that's the reason that the resurrection is so important, is because none of us would ever be complete unless we had our bodies. And so we're going to be raised from the dead. And it was important that Jesus bring out of that grave the physical body he took into that grave and demonstrated to us the importance of the physical body. The Bible tells us that God is going to change this vile body into the likeness of the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that body that Jesus brought out of that grave, that glorified body, it is a type of the body we're going to have when Jesus raises us from the dead. Hallelujah. So there's going to be a resurrection. And this is my third point, is that heaven, by the resurrection of Jesus, sealed the promises of God to us, and we are affected directly by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus said, "Because I live, and you shall live also." Now, you know, you don't really understand a person until you've shared some experiences with them. You don't really know somebody until you've shared some experiences with them. You've gone through some of the same things. You've experienced some of the same things. You've been together in hard times, bad times, good times. You've shared experiences. That's when you really get to know people, when you share experiences with them. And you know, it's that way with the Son of God. What God intended for us, he said, is in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. Hallelujah. Now, not everybody's going to be made alive, but those in Christ are going to be made alive. We're all in Adam. We're all born in Adam. So in Adam we all die. But if you want to live, you got to be in Christ. As in Adam all died, so in Christ all are going to be made alive. Now get this. What God did when Jesus Christ rose from the dead is he reversed the process that was brought about by Adam's sin. In Adam, we all died. So what happened to man was he was made a living soul, but he died. But what Christ did is he went into death and then came back to life. And so just as in Adam we go from life to death, in Christ we go from death to life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're all affected by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He reversed the process of going from life to death and made us go from death to life. You know, that happens to us spiritually. The resurrection of Jesus Christ affected us spiritually. The Bible tells us, "You hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Someone said that Christ came into this world not so much to make bad men good as he did to make dead men live. Hallelujah. And that was our problem, is we were dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Spiritually dead. And Jesus came to make us alive. You know, a dead man can't understand things. You can talk to him, he don't hear you. You could kick him, he wouldn't respond to that. He's dead. And he's not aware of his surroundings. But when a man's alive, then he's conscious of things he didn't know before. He hears, he sees, he experiences things because he's alive. And when you're dead in trespasses and in sins, I'm telling you, until God speaks life to you, you just cannot respond. It takes the Spirit of God, hallelujah, to open your ears to hear. It takes the Spirit of God to open your eyes to see, because we're dead in trespasses and in sins. And when Jesus come out of that grave, and he made provision for us to live, brother. I mean to spiritually be made alive by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But not only did he affect us spiritually, he affected us physically as well. "Because I live, you shall live also." So for that reason, when we place people in the ground, when we bury our loved ones, we don't bury them without hope. We understand that there's coming a resurrection day, that in Christ shall all be made alive. The Bible tells us that the first Adam was a living soul, but the last Adam, and that's Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. He is a life giver. Praise God. On down in this chapter, he tells us this. He said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, brother, these bodies we live in right now could not stand heaven. There's too many wonderful things there. The glory of God is there. Our bodies are not made for heaven. They're made to live on earth. And God has got a better place for us to go to. And so in order for us to live in heaven, we've got to have a new body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to have a body that's been fitted for heaven. That's the reason for the resurrection, is we're going to get a brand new body, glorified body, and a body fitted to live in that new environment of heaven so we can live in the presence of God, so that we can behold the greatness and glory of God. We've got to have a brand new body. Praise God. So this is the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Heaven declared the innocence and truthfulness of Jesus. Heaven revealed by the resurrection the importance of the body. And heaven sealed the promises of God to us concerning our future. And finally, and this is not the least important, I'll tell you this. Heaven's declared by the resurrection of Jesus that Jesus is alive and well in the world today. Amen. And I want to say to each one of you here this morning, He's here. Hallelujah. I say He's here. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He said, I will be in the midst. When they went to that grave that morning, those ladies, and they found that tomb rolled back, and that angel said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus. They said, He's not here. He is risen. Come see the place where He lay. And you remember Peter and John went running to that tomb? And Peter went rushing in there and looked around. He didn't see Jesus. He just saw the grave clothes that Jesus had come out of. Now, you know, they knew. Somewhere, they couldn't see Him, but somewhere, Jesus is around here somewhere. Praise God. He's not in this tomb. He's come out. And those ladies went to tell the disciples, and there He was on their path. They met Him. And the disciples went and gathered in the upper room, and all of a sudden, there was Jesus. They didn't know where He was. But in their minds, they knew he's somewhere. He's around here somewhere. He's loose. He's free. He's come out of that grave. And He's somewhere around here. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you, He's still loose. He's still loose this morning. And He's still somewhere around. And if you'll just reach out by faith, you can find Him. He's risen from the dead. Hallelujah.